Hello and welcome to the Hugging the Bar podcast, a time for us to chat with cool, smart, creative people in the beverage, alcohol, and hospitality industries, find out what they're up to, learn from some game-changing ideas, and generally look at ways to survive and maybe even thrive in this ever-dicier climate. Today, I'm talking to Stephanie Grant. You may know Stephanie from her writing and podcast hosting for Good Beer Hunting, where her story, Hidden Heritage, A Search for Culture, Heirlooms, and My Grandma's Red Rice Recipe, earned her a James Beard Award nod. Or maybe you recognize her from the illustrious Imbibe 75 People to Watch list. You likely know her from her incredibly engaging Instagram account, She Loves Craft, where Stephanie shares everything from beers she loves and amazing meals she's made to brilliant branding and marketing advice that frankly is almost too good to give away for free. Make sure you're following She Loves Craft so you don't miss out there. And when you're feeling inspired by Stephanie's videos, you can hire her under her consultancy by the same name, She Loves Craft, to level up your beverage or food business and grow your audience. We get into how Stephanie helps brands and businesses do just that during our chat, because she has some serious experience helping businesses in this industry improve their social media strategy, content, and overall story. She highlights key takeaways in this episode you don't want to miss. And not to get all Joy Behar on you here, but you also don't want to miss our hot topics, because Stephanie and I both have some feelings about bad brewery websites and esoteric beer menu descriptions, and we get into it here. Yes, it's all in good fun, but these are also easy places for businesses to make improvements. So let's get into it. So happy to be here with Stephanie Grant. Hi, Stephanie.
Hey, Courtney. Happy to be here with you as well.
I'm so excited to talk to you because you are pretty much my favorite social media follow. And I just always like, it's always just a hard yes to everything you say. I think you are so smart about the beer and beverage industry and what brands get up to. So I think anyone tuning into this episode will, they should talk to you, they should work with you, but they'll already walk away having learned a few, maybe hard truths sometimes. But
maybe a little, yeah, maybe some hard truths for sure. But I appreciate you saying that.
Let's before we dive into some of those hot topics, let's talk a little bit about your background, just because, you know, in addition to working with things like branding and marketing in those areas, you are also a James Beard Award nominated writer. You have an incredible career, especially touching in, you know, I know you work with food and in other areas, but for the sake of this podcast, you have an incredible sterling resume in beer and beverage. So tell me a little bit about how you kind of fell down into this line of work. I guess I shouldn't say fell down, but I'm like, we all just kind of magically ended up in this industry, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us, like, I think the entry story into beer is always an interesting one because it's never the same. I got started in beer, which is funny because today kicks off the beginning of football season. Like, well, technically it started with preseason, but I started drinking beer because of football, but Allagash White, that first sip of Allagash White was the beer that got me into craft beer. And I was like, I had never been so in love with something like that before. And I already had a background in writing, and I was trying to find a way to like narrow down my writing into one area, one industry. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to write about beer. Like, this is what I'm about to do. And so that was the entryway. Like, I was just obsessed with beer and I wanted to find ways to work in the industry. And I was like, what am I already capable of doing? And that was how I ended up in beer. And I was a beer writer for a long time. And I've always like had a love for social media. I learned about it back in the days when there were just Facebook pages. And I was like, this is the best thing. I said, businesses are going to be able to connect with their consumers in a real way instead of like just, I like was just over like the moon about it. I was just like, this is going to be great. And it's funny because a lot of people are realizing now that social media is a place for connection, not just using your social media as a billboard for all of your promos. And I love that. But that's what it was originally, you know, built for. And so backing up, like did beer writing for a while, did some social media, and now I'm just like leaning harder into the marketing branding part of things because I see a real need for some course correction when it comes to how breweries show up online. There's a lot of things that they could be doing better. There's so many rich stories in this industry. And I guess in a way, I still consider myself a beer writer because I'm helping people tell their stories, just not for like a publication. I'm doing it for their social media. And so, I got that dang spirit knot, which every time someone brings it up, I'm like surprised as if I'm just hearing about it. Just wild. But I got that for writing about red rice and just sharing a story that had been building in me for years. And so that was great. I also got, I don't know, was it a nomination? But I got recognized in Bob 75, I think in 2019 or 2020. So yeah, it's been wild. It's been a wild ride, but like, it's just been me following my heart and trying to find ways to be as helpful in the industry as possible.
Which you've definitely been doing. And I think it was 2021 when I was doing my research. I was like, look at Stephanie in Bob 75 to watch. So cool. And it's also really cool that Allagash White was your aha moment because you work with Allagash, like creating content now.
Yeah. That's the wildest thing. Like Allagash White is what got me into beer. And I, the reason I think I even started working with them is because one of the the guys on the marketing team, Jeff, came down to Atlanta and I started having a conversation with him. And I was just gushing about how much I love Allagash White. And then I was like on his radar. And then they were like, we love your content. We want you to create content for us. And I was just like, is this real? Like, I'm talking about full circle moment, amazing, incredible opportunity. And I even got a chance to go up to Maine to visit them. And it was just a fantastic ride. Like, yeah, sometimes I think back on my career and I'm like, wow, I've done some amazing, incredible things. And I cannot believe that this is my life. So I'm just like very grateful for all of the things that I've been able to do. And again, like, it was just me like following my heart, trying to show up and be helpful and tell stories because I love doing that. And it's taken me into taken me great places and into some wonderful rooms.
I love that. Allagash is a nice positive force in the industry too, I think. And listeners won't know this, but before we started recording, we were talking about manifesting and I kind of feel like you put that Allagash love out into the world. And yeah, that turned into one of the many big things that you've been able to be a part of. So now that I wanted to shine a spotlight just on She Loves Craft, on your consulting, just so that people can understand exactly what you're offering. So kind of the exact services, I guess, if you would call it that, or sort of the areas that you pinpoint when you're working with a business.
Yeah. So She Loves Craft came out of a big pivot I made last year where I decided to kind of let go of a lot of the things that I've done. And I didn't mention that I used to be a podcast host for Good Beer Hunting and was writing for them as well. And when they closed their business, it was like, okay, so what do I do now? And it was a great chance for me to figure out like what's next for me. And I mentioned before, like I was seeing the way beer brands were showing up online. And I was like, this should not be this way. One of the biggest things I see people do wrong is they use their social media as a billboard, and that's not really what it's meant to do. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I can somehow start showing a way. And so I came up with three ways for people to work with me. So if you are a brewery anywhere in America, anywhere in the world, one of the ways you can work with me is I can help you figure out what you should be posting online. So I have like a content strategy session where we can sit down, figure out what your goals are, and then figure out how best to tell your story online, because that's what social media is for. And if you are local or you want to fly me out, I can also show up and help you create content. That's like one of the services that I offer that's the most exciting and most enjoyable for me, because I get to get my hands dirty, quote unquote. And I love being able to take visuals, or I love being able to like interview people and get their stories out of them and create content from that. It's just one of my favorite things to do. And the third way that if you need like really hands-on work, and this is really just for local clients, is helping people run their social media. And so I can be the person behind the scenes, making sure the posts get up and making sure that your story, the strategy that I come up with for you, is being played out online as we intended it to be.
Amazing. Well, you are addressing some of my next question, which is, you know, you're speaking about maybe kind of a catch-all for this being that too many brands are seeing Instagram, social media as a billboard and not, you know, a two-way conversation. I wanted to ask you, with so much experience, so closely observing this industry and its members, its member businesses, what are some of the most common, do you think, kind of missteps or gaps or missed opportunities?
Yeah, I think that one of the things, like I mentioned, we talked about the billboard, just showing up when you have something to promote. That is, if you are doing that, then you probably feel like social media isn't working for you because you're not doing it right. That's one of my heart. Like, that is why you have 12 likes on the post, because you are not really creating anything to start a conversation. What was working in the heyday of craft beer, where you could post a beautiful picture of a beer and just be done, like that's not enough anymore. Especially when we have video. Video is so important. And it's not just because that's what Instagram wants you to do. It's such a great way to demonstrate who you are and why people should care. And I can scroll through, and I get it. I understand why this is the case, but I see too many accounts where there's not one video at all, like showing what will people expect when they come into your tap room. What's the vibe? What's the personality of your brand? Like, there's so much energy that can be captured within a video, and so many people are missing out on that. And it honestly does not have to be super hard. It does not have to be super polished. I use my phone a lot for my client work because it's enough. Like, it is enough. You do not, and honestly, like, the super polished production videos, like that, they're nice, they're pretty, but when it comes to connecting with people, it's just not necessary. So not leaning into the tools that are available, the options that are available for social media, using stories, speaking specifically to Instagram, because I know a lot of beer accounts are there on Instagram, and I know some are starting to get over to TikTok, but using everything that the platform has to offer. I think even just like not having a dedicated marketing person is, and I understand budgets are tight, but maybe having someone that, and it doesn't have to be me, there are plenty of people who do what I do, but having someone there who can guide you, especially if you do not have expertise in that industry. There's a book I read called The E-Myth. I talk about it all the time. It was the book that helped me within my business and helped me realize that, yes, I'm a writer and I'm trying to start a writing business, and they're not the same. They're not the same. Just because you know how to brew beer does not mean you know how to run a business. And I see some of the things, like there's a lot of passion that is in this industry that has pulled people in and has gotten them to open these breweries, but passion is not enough. When you have to market your business, sell your beer, you have to worry about overhead. Like, there's so many components to running a business, and brewing beer is just, it's almost the smallest part of it. So I think that knowing that that's not your strength and hiring out for it, whether you have someone in-house or you have a consultant, you're hiring an agency, I think that that's important if you really want to make your mark online, offline. Like, people knowing what you're about is not just a nice to have. Like, I think it's crucial to the business because there are, what, 10,000 plus breweries. I don't know if the numbers change because we have had a lot of closures. What makes you different from the other is not quality beer. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not. It needs to be something more than that. I think when I think about breweries here in Atlanta and I think about the ones that stick out, it's because they have a personality to their brand. And that personality transcends outside of Atlanta. And people flock to them when they come here because of that. And that is so important. But if you just have a bunch of stagnant or static photos on your page, if you haven't updated your photos of your core beer since like 2001, like do that. Do some updates. Like, let's not continue doing things that don't work. If you're not getting a lot of engagement on your posts, it's not working and it's time to switch things up. And I would rather, like, if you're going to spend the energy on it, like, let's try to do it better. Let's try to do it right. I'm trying to think of other things. I think that's like the main thing. Like, it's trying to do things, not knowing how it actually works, not having, and it's okay if you want to hire your bartenders to run your social, but get them some training, give them some guidance on what needs to be done. And that's why I offer that content strategy so that you can have a roadmap for how this should look and you can do it on your own. There's just so much that could be done. It doesn't have to take up a lot of your time. I know that it feels like a lot. I know it does. I have to run my own social for my business. I get it. I've also worked in a brewery and I understand how the brewery life, like behind the scenes, like it's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm glad that I had that privilege. But it's a necessary part of your business. Marketing is just as important as sales. And I want to see us do it better than we have been in the past.
Yeah, I want to emphasize what you said about you might brew the best beer in the world, but that doesn't mean that you know how to run a business or do marketing, nor should it. I can't brew beer. But, you know, that is why. And if you don't have, you know, because I was going to ask you about some of these hurdles, which I think you were touching upon, which is, yeah, not everyone has the budget to hire someone full time. Of course, not everyone has. Most people running a brewery do not have many extra hours in the week, but this stuff is essential. Like, you need people in the door in order for you to keep running your business. And the only way you're going to do that is by reaching them effectively. And that's why it's great that there are people like you that if they can't hire someone full time, they can have someone part time or consulting them, or they can at least, you know, get consulting, get strategy from you. On, yes, maybe how their taproom manager or bartender can start pitching in with some of this. The other thing that I think is important that we have both expressed pet peeves about is very, very simple, which is a good website. I think like social media, this is just so often such a missed opportunity. It's, you know, you right there, that is kind of your billboard, right? Fair enough to call that a billboard. That's not really a conversation. And it would be so easy to just put all of the information there to get more people into your tap room. And yet so many breweries, I mean, I honestly think the majority of websites out there are not great. So I want to get your take on that. And maybe if you have any specifics that you can think of that you're like, why is no one doing this?
Yes. Oh my gosh. You brought up the website stuff. And I just like, it's such a pain point for me. And when I was thinking about pivoting, I was like, maybe I can help. And I was like, I don't even want to cross. I was like, it just, so there are some breweries that don't even have websites. They are relying on their social media to be their website. And I'm going to tell you why that's not enough. There are so many components on your website that you should have. Social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever you want to put it, is not enough. That is not where that information should live. You do not have control over those platforms. You need to have your own website. Building a website, even if you have to do it yourself, I have built all my websites and I will be happy for the day when I can turn it over. But, and I will admit, I have had some experience with building websites, like in my schooling. So maybe I'm speaking from a place of a little privilege, but building a website is very easy. There are templates. I highly recommend Squarespace. I know that there are more and more websites coming out like Squarespace that make it very easy, drag and drop. But the reason why you have to have a website, one is the best place to put your story in its full entirety. Like, you need to have an About Us page so people know who you are and what you are about, why you are important to this industry, whatever industry that is. You need that so that people can know, they can look you up. I mean, I'm like thinking that Courtney and I are both journalists. Like, we need you to have a website so we can look you up
Yes.
and decide if we want to write a story about you. Like, you are missing out on so much like attention, not just from potential consumers, but like people who want to share your story. But if we try to go to your website, you don't even have one. Like, we're digging for information about you everywhere else on the internet. Like, you should tell your own story. Not only that, but like showcasing your beer, showcasing your accolades, like your person, again, your personality. Like, your website is part of your brand story in a way where it's you can map out the whole full thing and really shine and show, like you said, it's your billboard for where you can show people exactly who you are and why you matter. And I keep saying why. Why should someone care about you? Because that is key and important. The reason why you built this business is probably the same reason why people should care. And like your mission, your vision, like all of that stuff can go on your website. And it makes you memorable. It makes people want to connect with you. It gives them a point to connect to. They cannot connect as much to a beautiful can of beer, a beautiful photo you put online, versus like you talking about the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into building your business. The reason why you felt like this was a missing place in the beer industry and you decided to fill it. And like those things are important. They are very important. You might think people don't care, but they do. And they want to know who you are and again, why they should care about you. So having your, like I said, your about, how can people contact you? And this is just a crossover from being a journalist. How can people reach out to you? How can they find out more about you, ask you questions? Having the FAQs on there is great. And now with like things like ChatGPT, you can generate that if you don't have FAQs, you can generate it. You can ask like what are typical things people will ask, and you can generate it. It's fine. Showing your employees. I love when people show their employees. I know sometimes people don't want to do that. And it is a lift making sure that you keep that updated. I used to do that for the brewery I worked with. But it shows character. It shows who's there, what kind of people. Showing, having, this is my number one, just across social media or across the internet. What's the vibe? What's the vibe? Like, you show me all your whole profile is of these tight shots of cans and glasses, but who's there? Where am I going to sit and hang out? Like what's the lounging area looking like? Like, what is the bar looking like? What are the special features of your tap room? Like, is it like cutesy chic? Is it like this outdoor situation that's perfect for fall? Like, what is the vibe? People want to know that. And I think that not only on social media, but on your website, you should have what does your place look like? There's just, I just think that it's a core part of being a business owner is having that website so people can know like what they expect before they visit.
Yeah, I as so much of what you're saying, just a hard yes to all of it. Some of the things that are missing from a lot of brewery websites are just absolutely confounding to me. They're so counterintuitive. I contact information being first and foremost. I have recently noticed how many brewery websites don't actually really get into the beer. And at that point, I'm thinking, okay, well, specialization is a big thing now, right? Like a lot of breweries are leaning into like maybe one kind of grouping of styles. What am I going to get at your brewery? And also, I would encourage anyone listening to check out your social media. You've done posts on this. I've written about brewery websites at Brewing Industry Guide. Doing that story, some people brought up a very good point too, which is your website is also where a potential distributor or retailer would go. And now you're not offering any information about your beers. Like that is literally what you are selling. It's wild to not get in on that.
At least your year round and seasonal beers should be on your website.
Yeah.
Like tell people about them.
Exactly.
It's just like, it's website 101. Like let's think about your website as your digital tap room. That's what it needs to be. Like everything that people can find, the information they can find when they visit your tap room, you need to have it in a digital space. We are in a digital world. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You got me fired up.
I know. All the FAQs, because I, as someone also constantly looking to see, you know, where dogs are allowed, in the past, you know, I've had to help like look for places that are wheelchair accessible with a family member. Like if I can't see your tap room, or if you're not telling me that you are wheelchair accessible, I don't know. You could have all high top tables. All this stuff matters so much and will help people come into your tap room. And the last thing that I'll hit on before we move on, which I know you were speaking to as well, about us. About us is such a powerful little tool. That is not only how today's customer wants to, you know, differentiate, decide who they're going to spend their money patronizing. That's how they're going to know if they connect to your story. Because again, there will be a vibe, there will be a story for everyone. It's also how you earn media for free. People will write about you if they see you have an interesting story. And something I've kind of been, that's been coming up again and again in conversations recently is that is so great that your wife bought you a homebrew kit when you were out of college and it inspired you and your buddies to start a brewery together. Find a new angle. Like I know that there's got to be something more interesting about you and your history starting the brewery. You've really got to think about how to make yourself stand out.
Oh my gosh. So you're hitting on something that I've just like, I feel like we are trying to tell the same story over and over again. And we need to like, I don't, it almost feels like the breweries don't know about each other and they are, but they're hitting on the same things. Like,
yes.
I'm sorry, you having yoga at your spot is not special. It's not. Like, there's so many breweries that have that. Like, you need to look deeper into, I mean, there's like, there. I'm actually studying branding because I did not go to school for that. But it's something that I've fallen into and love, and there has to be a better way for you to tell your brand story or create your brand story than doing what someone else is doing. Get deep into it, do some like journal. I don't know. Like that's the way I do it, but like find a way to go deeper, because if it sounds similar to someone else's story, it's not a good differentiator. It's just not. You have to go deeper into it. And I'm telling you, the quality beer thing and the yoga is like one of those two like top things that I'm just like, guys, it's not enough. It's just not enough. Everyone's making quality beer. You could, okay, not everyone's making quality beer, but there's a lot of people doing
enough
it.
Enough people are,
Yes.
All right. So we have our pet peeves on the brewery websites. I know another topic that you and I are deeply passionate about is the way that breweries tell us how their beer is going to taste, whether that be on a taproom menu, or on a can or on the website description that they should have. Good. So good on you for having it, brewery. Or, you know, on social media, things like that. You've spoken again on your social media about breweries who get super technical and they tell us every hopping method, every malting method, and that's so great. But like, what does it taste like?
Yeah.
Maybe that technical stuff should be in your newsletter for the people who are into that to subscribe to it. Other than that, you should be speaking to the general audience, just get people interested in flavor. So we wanted to talk about maybe some out there kind of descriptions that are just truly kind of wild. So we picked Burial, and we want to be super clear. Both of us love Burial. This is no shade. And we would never pick a brewery that wasn't super successful, super awesome, making super awesome beer, because that would not be fair. But we know, you know, this is part of Burial's vibe. I totally get that. They kind of have an arty metal, you know, esoteric thing happening. So I will say that Burial can get away with this. If you are Burial, you can get away with this, but it's what my fear is, and I think you can agree, is that another smaller or newer brewery would see this and be like, I'm going to do this. And you know what? If you're not Burial, or if you're not Treehouse or someone of that ilk, prob's not going to be great for you.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Like, I will like give them some grace for this because it is a part of their brand and they're leaning hard into it. Mm-hmm. But it fits them. But just because they're doing it does not mean you can do it.
Exactly.
They're pulling it off. They're pulling it off. I don't know how they get away with this, but
I mean, they might have, again, they've been doing this since before, in sort of the headier days of craft beer, when it kind of was enough actually to make quality beer, and people, it was still novel, and you could sort of, I will give them, they're doing what we're talking about, which is carving out a unique niche. They're expressing their personality. Again, this wouldn't work these days for most other breweries. So we each were going to pull up an especially bonkers description. I have pulled up. So this beer is called Perceptions of the Profound Double India Pale Ale. You know, their names, it is leading into this kind of description already with the names, and names are cool. But this beer, how does this beer taste? How do you know what it's going to taste like? It's indescribably relevant and excruciatingly intangible, made with the goodness emanating from our friends at Yakima Chief Hops, extensively hopped with the beauty of scientific ingenuity, using YCH's Mosaic Hops in T90 Cryo DynaBoost and HyperBoost form, and Simcoe Hops in T90 Cryo and Experimental 803 form. So you know what that's going to taste like, right?
Yeah, it's going to be indescribably relevant. I know exactly what it tastes like.
You know when you crack open a beer, take a sip, and go, oh, that's so relevant.
But I can't describe how relevant it is.
Because it's excruciatingly intangible.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's just, like, these kinds of descriptions make me cry. And this is why I say you cannot, do not follow Burial's lead.
Yeah.
Because when... So we know that we're trying to get more people, not just beer nerds, into craft beer. This is not newbie friendly.
Right.
And even though I've been in the industry for a while, I could not tell you what the beer tastes like based on this description. I can't do it. I don't know if you, Courtney, you might, maybe. Could you? I couldn't tell you. I mean, I'm just gonna say it's gonna taste like an IPA. Like, and I'm like, do you like? I'm gonna ask someone, because I think about too when I bring newbies to breweries, and I'm like reading the description. I'm like, ooh, do you like IPAs? Like, that's what I have to do there, because it's just difficult. Okay, so I'm gonna find one. I'm afraid. Okay. A measured procession of veracity Indian Pale Ale. Some truths become clear over time, and in the order they were always meant to be unveiled. Lies will accumulate into a thin guise, ultimately crumbling under the weight of authenticity. Dry hop with a heavy hand. I always don't know how to say that word. Motueka. Motueka. finished with a dose of Strata in Amaretto. I do like this description. Maybe because I have an English degree.
Well, that's the thing. It's beautifully written.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yes, it's poetry.
Whoever is writing these, like, props, you're a good writer. It's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, some truths become clear over time. I love that. Like, put it on my wall.
But does that that tastes like passion fruit, right? Truth coming, becoming clear over time. Gooseberry, maybe? That's maybe a flavor note we love to throw around, even though no one knows what it actually tastes like.
In the order they were always meant to be unveiled. I mean, this is like life. This is like a life lesson here. This is why I do like this description, because it feels like it's telling you about life and what you can expect. So maybe, like, if we think about life, it can be bitter, right? But it also could be, you know, there could be sweetness in it too. So I would imagine this is a balance of both. It's bitter. It probably has a little sweetness to it.
Wow. You know,
I know exactly what this tastes like.
That I give you, I applaud you for interpreting. Maybe you should start teaching a college course interpreting esoteric beer descriptions.
Yes, sign me up for it. It would be like going right back to English class. I mean, I actually hate, like, that was one of the things I hated when I was getting my English degree. It was just like, why was he wearing red? And I was like, I don't know, because that's what he pulled out the store that morning.
Does everything have to be deeply symbolic? Yeah.
Yeah. So now that I've had to do that, now I can see what they're trying to say here. I would love to sit down with the person who writes their descriptions and be like, how do you do it? How? Because I'm impressed. There needs to be medals won for the poetry that is the burial descriptions.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So again,
do this.
No, we love you, Burial. This was just good fun to show, yes, that no one else can get away with this. This has been so fun, Stephanie. Thank you so, so much. I hope everyone can just, you know, catch our energy, how excited we are about this stuff. And I hope, you know, that that inspires them to go get their branding right with you. So do you want to, you know, we'll have everything in the show notes. You want to throw out some plugs and how people can find you?
Yes. So website, shelovescraft.com. Also on Instagram, shelovescraft, because we like to make things easy for people. And if you want to email me, Stephanie@shelovescraft. So everything's right there for you. But you could also slide in my DMs. I would love to hear from you and love to help out, because at the end of the day, my goal is for craft beer to get out of this slump and start winning again, because I just think there's so many passionate, wonderful people in this industry, and I want us to win.
Amazing. Absolutely well said. Everybody go seek help from Stephanie. Love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again to Stephanie, and thank you to all of you for listening to Hugging the Bar. I hope you learned something, and I hope you had a few laughs with us too. Please tell your friends about Hugging the Bar. Rate, review, subscribe, all that fun stuff. Cheers!